morning and welcome to Christ Today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our life and for all that you have given us. Help us to clearly see what is ahead and to walk in your will. And we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Well, it's been observed many times in the past that the United States does not have a place in Scripture. Well, it's a point of view, and some will say, yes, but look at, and some will say, no, it's not in there. Well, we just don't know. I do ask you, though, what will happen in the world? What kind of trouble do you think we'll see? There's a number of people who see that our country will be down and out and not in a significant role in future history. Well, who knows what the answer is? There's different scenarios that could bring this about, and there's certain situations that could suddenly come upon us even now. We just don't know, but but we search for the answers, and we see what the possibilities are. I hear more and more people talking about asking a serious question about what kind of troubles we could face. And you know what? I see them too. That's why I talk about them. So lots of people are plainly seeing problems in our future that could befall us as a nation and as a people. And I have to think that we were placed here for a time such as this. I think of my position is to warn people and to encourage people and to make an understanding of how to get through any difficulties, how to avoid difficulties, and how to get through the ones that come up. This, I see, is the love of Jesus Christ. And as we care for other people, as we seek ways to see and understand, this is a part of that love. Part of it is the physical caring, part of it is the emotional caring, and part of it is to see hope for the future. That's so very important. So this is why I come to talk to you about preparedness. That's why I talk about this on Christ Today. Yes, the show is about Jesus Christ. Yes, definitely. But it's also to share that love with other people, and that love is caring and compassion. So a part of that same love is to help other people. How? It's always different in different ways. Sometimes we give people a helping hand. Sometimes we have something to share. And some of the times it's a part of this preparedness message. It's always different, and there's different ways for different people. But I like to say and see that our help comes from having resources to help others with. And therefore, if our cupboards are empty, well, it's pretty hard to help people when we don't have anything to give. That's another reason to store up and to have that storehouse full of things. And we all try and we all wish we could do more because there's always more to do. Certainly, we don't do as much as we would like to do for just about anything. But we try. We keep on trying. So what I do is I ask you to re-examine your position, your ideas, and see if there's anything further that you should consider. Yes, do remember, in order to give, you have to have something to give. That storehouse concept is a very good one. And to do this storing up while there is yet an abundance in our land. I do sometimes think about the grocery stores having 3 days of food in them. I have been to the grocery stores in the middle of the night, and I've seen the empty shelves, not really empty, but partially empty. The shelves restocked. And yeah, there's a constant cycle. And it's more than 30% of our food, more than one third of our food is imported. And what would happen if there was a transportation difficulty? What if the grid went down for a little while or a long while? Well, the transportation would suffer greatly, and all these things are just possibilities. It's pretty hard to buy things, sell things, without a working cash register, without the lights being on in the store. All these things are possibilities, and we certainly don't know which ones we're going to have to face as a difficulty in the future. I do think about Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, and I have mentioned that before. What I find so just striking about that is that it took FEMA, you know, our federal government, almost 2 months to respond. Almost 2 months. And I remember I said this before, that when I made this observation to a local emergency person, their response was, "Well, I think they're still within their charter." Well, where does that leave us if we need that kind of significant and serious help? I don't know. It's a question. I have heard that the government services people tell us we should each have 4 days of food and water on hand. 4 days. Well, we probably could all survive on the 4 days of food we have in our home. Maybe a lot longer. But I do want to ask you another part of that question. And 4 days? Well, let's just call that 5 gallons of water. Do we have 5 gallons, 4, 5 gallons of water stored? Very few people do. So I want to just remind you that water is such a very important part of this. You need water. And that does not include the 2 gallons per flush that it takes to get that waste down. So you just think about it, how important water is. I remember going back in my life to a couple of times when the city water line broke. There were 2 times that I could get no water. And once it was for half a day, and the other time it was for a day and a half. And what a surprise that was. No water coming out of your faucet. Oh, that just changes life immensely, I'll tell you that. No toilet to flush, no shower to take, no food to cook. It's a real big problem. So I just want to remind you ever so much to store water. And yeah, you can recycle it if you want. You can cycle it if you want. And some people say that it should be cycled every 6 months. I don't know. And I've told you that my experience with the water and not having any difference in the taste after, was it 8 years? And it was just an experiment I thought I would try. But whatever it is, you're going to be really glad to have water. Even if it's old water, you can still boil it. You can still run it through a filter. Water is just so very important, and I know it's heavy. But yeah, get one of those water containers, whatever you think you want. Gallon water containers, 5 gallon water containers, 55 gallon plastic water containers, all of it. When you don't have water, oh boy, do you ever miss it. Kind of like food. If you don't have food, boy, do you miss it. So, yes, look at these things. These are the basic needs for what we need to live. Food and water. So why not have a supply of it on hand? Other people have had troubles. We might too. So I do remember I also mentioned on this broadcast once, I talked about being without electricity for one weekend. And that was a surprisingly difficult weekend. Like I said, here I was, the preparedness guy without electricity for the weekend. Well, it all worked, but it was surprisingly inconvenient. I really thought that I could handle it better, but nah, that was not easy for me. There was limited cell phone use for a few days. It was just an experience. Now, funny thing about the cell phone, because we are so used to certain things in our life, cell phone, computers, whatever it is, that it's a certain withdrawal to go without those things. And certainly, that's a part of our consideration for if such an event were to happen in the future. We have to get a substitute of paying attention to something. We don't want to have withdrawal from a cell phone or from whatever it is. I think that another form of what our attention can go to is prayer. So, with prayer, do we have withdrawal symptoms if we don't pray every day regularly? And we have withdrawal symptoms if we don't have a telephone or a computer access or whatever that access would be. So, yeah, it goes to show you what is each one of us, what our relationship is with God, if we were to feel that kind of withdrawal symptoms if we did not have that close relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. I think of other people who have had to rely on God and the Holy Spirit and hear Him speaking so that they could get through a difficult situation. Have you ever heard of Brother Andrew or Dimitri Dudeman, who smuggled Bibles into the communist countries in and around Russia? That was many years ago, like 30 years ago, but still, they did it. And there were plenty of people who were caught, and some people were imprisoned for bringing Bibles into a country, and some people just had difficulties of one sort or another. I know 20 years ago I heard a story about this. I've never really liked the story, but it does have a good point. It was two men were running from the border guards, and I presume they were smuggling Bibles. So as they crossed the bridge, one man stopped to pray, and he was shot dead. And the storyteller said, "How is this right in the eyes of the Lord?" And the answer is that the other man, who kept running, was praying all of the time. You know, I don't know what to say about that story. It just kind of gets me. There's a point to it, and there's a point I don't like. But anyway, it's a story. The point is here that we want to have our relationship with God constant in prayer. And we don't know what the future holds. Always there are surprises, but we can be assured that our constant relationship with God is essential. So we ought to practice that. Yeah, much more than listening to our cell phone. But we don't know what lies ahead in our future, but God does. And this is another huge reason why we should learn to rely on this communication with God, why we should rely on His direction for us, seek that sensitivity, and have that relationship that is so strongly in prayer. Let Him guide us. He knows everything, we don't. He knows what the future is, we don't. So shouldn't we practice and develop that relationship with God? And I know that we all have different views about things. There's no winning the argument with a person who says, "Nothing bad has happened yet, so there's nothing that's going to happen. I don't have to worry." Oh, I've heard so many people say that. And yet, I'm a history person, and I know that history teaches a much different lesson. It's that hard times come to people, even to good people, and we don't know who, and we don't know how, we don't know when. But all sorts of things happen to us. You could say they befall us. There's just troubles and things in the future. That also means blessings. Blessings are in the future too. We can see how God has blessed so many people and us. Oh boy, has He ever blessed us. We can look and we can see blessings abound. There are so many good things in our life. And yet we do know there can be hard times coming. And don't I look at Matthew 24 a bunch? Yeah, I do. Why? Because it talks about things that are in our future. We don't know when, we don't know how, but there's things that are in our future somehow that are going to be very difficult. And if you look around, we can see the potential of all sorts of things. Whether you look at the very, very near things in relationships or people around us, that's one thing. We can look at the Oroville Dam, that's another thing, because, well, there are people who see that there's still very major problems with that. I don't know the answer. I'm not there. I can't see them. But I think it's very interesting that people do still see problems, and that is without an earthquake, that there could be really big problems. And in our life, we also have our country overseas all the time. We can see problems developing over there. What are they? No, we don't know. We don't know. But we do pay attention to the things that are written. And I did just bring up Matthew 24. What about wars and rumors of wars? What about famines, pestilences, and earthquakes? But the end is not yet. I don't know what that means, but there's lots of potential to the things that can happen, both good and bad. And yet I think about the people who really do have hard times, who really have seen natural disasters and troubles come, famines, pestilence or illness, and earthquakes. Why? Over the centuries, there's been tens of thousands of people, or even a couple of them where there have been over 100,000 people die after an earthquake in Asia. There have been several of those in the last few hundred years. So we can see all these things. We can see that there was once a few years back, there was the Fukushima event that happened in Japan. There's, you know, that was a pretty big thing. And I've watched several documentaries about it. Japanese documentaries by amateur documentarians. I don't know what you'd call them. But they're still stories. They did a good job of recording what the events were. And it was done with English subtitles so that you could understand what the Japanese people were saying that were affected by this. It is interesting. There were air raid sirens in the beginning. You could see people looking around and trying to wonder what was going on. They watched the water levels rise and maybe the sea coming in, maybe the river outlets flowing back the wrong way, inland instead of outland. So there's all sorts of things you could see going on, just what you would expect. There were loudspeakers speaking warnings and having the air raid siren blaring. And you could see people coming around and looking to see what was going on, what was happening. And they'd go to the river and they'd go to the ocean and they'd watch and they'd see things. Some people would stay and some people would quickly leave and some people went to higher ground. Lots of different reactions. Lots of different people watching and seeing the progression of whatever would happen. You could see the waves coming in. You could see, well, just the water level rising and the debris coming in. And the cars floating, bumping into each other because they were floating and bumping into each other. There were houses, there were boats. All these things just were going on right around them in the documentary film. And the water just keeps coming, the waves keep crashing, the debris, the cars, the boats, the houses, all running into each other and bumping around. That's what happened when the Fukushima disaster happened, when that tidal wave came in. There were people who would watch from the fourth and the fifth floor of some of the newer buildings where they got to high ground upon. Oh, in one of the videos, there was a man. He was in the background, and he kept saying in Chinese, you could hear him talking in Japanese, but the subtitles said what he was saying. And he kept repeating, "I told them to come, I told them to come, but they wouldn't leave," about people in the houses that were now underwater. What a thing. "I told them to come, but they wouldn't leave." It's a sad thing to hear. And he said it over and over again. But can you see where somebody might say that about us today? "I told them something. I told them something was going to happen. I told them to get ready, but they didn't hear. They wouldn't listen." I don't know what the real answers are, but there are people who are calling upon us today to get ready for something that would happen. And I'm certainly one to tell you I don't know what it is, but I see lots of possibilities, and I am saying, look out, get ready. But for what? Really, there's too many possibilities. There's many possibilities. But the point is get ready. Get ready now while you can, while the supplies are easily available. I'll tell you that's for sure. I've seen shortages. I have seen things happen. And we've seen them in this country too. Other countries also. But if you do nothing, you know what the result will be. It'll be nothing. You will have nothing. You will be able to rely on yourself with no extra anything. So it's kind of a hard thing to see this when we in this country have lived for so long without a natural disaster. Well, we have, but we've been able to fill in the shortcomings pretty much anyway. Yeah, so we have seen troubles. There have been troubles, but they've all been fixable. We still could have a huge natural disaster beyond what we could cope with. We could have an external disaster or threat beyond what we could deal with. Even now, if you listen to the news sources, we are getting warnings of all kinds, of all sorts of dangers. Yes, we hear the warnings, and we even understand that there's very real possibilities of bad things coming our way. But really, what have we done to prepare? Look at you, look at your friends, look at me, look at my friends. Same thing. I'm sure if there was a real event, we would find that our preparations were inadequate. But hopefully we can get by and help each other. This sense of community is so very important. We have to rely on each other. No one person will ever have enough of anything. So there will be people who will have an orientation to having one thing as supplies, someone else will have another thing as supplies, and we will be able to help each other. And sure, food is a big thing. There's other supplies, there's lots of things, and we each have a different understanding, and you could call it a different calling, of how we are to prepare. But preparation, that's a lesson we see over and over again in the Bible. We know it in life, too. It's no surprise. All these things are normal and right. I think that the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25 is an important lesson, too. And yes, there's people who see it one way and see it another way. And you just have to pray and ask God for your own understanding so that you can see what He wants you to see. because there's lots of ways to interpret lots of things, but don't neglect the most basic lessons here. And I think that most basic lesson is that there are five of those virgins that were prepared, and they had enough oil for their lamps. And there were five who did not have enough oil for their lamps. The ones that were prepared went into the wedding feast. And the ones who were not prepared, they were not allowed to go into the wedding feast. You will have to figure out what this means in your own understanding, but I think it's a pretty serious thing to either go into the wedding feast or not go into the wedding feast. Why? Because they were prepared. How? You get to figure that one out. Certainly, they're talking about a physical situation here of having enough light for the oil. You can spiritualize it if you want, and a lot of people do, and it's probably many ways to see this parable of the ten virgins, because there are spiritual applications, there are emotional applications, there are real-world applications to all these lessons in the Bible. Which ones do you see? That is something that I rely upon. Your relationship with God. Pray, and ask for understanding. So, we can talk about what the parable means. Oh, yes, we can. But it certainly is a very basic message here that I see of being either prepared or unprepared. And the consequences are more than we expect. There are more consequences that we can foresee. They're more serious than we could ever imagine. Well, just look it over. See what you think. Try to figure it out, because it's important. It is very important. Just like these days there's lots of things in front of us. Our attention can go here, it can go there, and sometimes we can look at the threats that our country faces. What are they? Well, I say, it's always different, and everyone sees different things. And that's why I think it's so important, again, I'll say, for us to be a community, for us to rely on people around us. Yeah, it can be neighbors, but I think our Christian family is so very important. And yet, how would we do that if we couldn't communicate? What if the electricity was off and our cell phones wouldn't recharge? Oh, boy. Well, I don't know the answers. I don't know that there are any we can understand. But there are lots of things to consider, and we should. So, I know there's talk these days, and there has been in the past, about what a serious situation it would be if our electrical grid were to be attacked and it would be shut down. Oh boy, that is so serious I can hardly even think about it, because the implications go into every area of our life. So, sure, we hear it, we even think about it a little bit, but how much have we done? How much have we actually done to prevent the harmful situations if it were to happen? Yeah, how much have you done for preparation in the last month? Even though we know there are things going on, there's always something, it seems like, going on with China and Russia, whether it's a political, military, financial, economic. There's all these things that are just going on right in front of our eyes. Actions. Things are happening. Oh, and that's another thing. Those countries certainly do not want the United States to take action in a certain part of the world. Oh, no, we better not do that. So, it's just to be aware, because there's so many things that can be said, so many things that can be done. Lots of discussion. Lots of arguments, lots of opinions, but somehow you have to get to a point where you have an opinion, where you have ideas about it. Now, I suppose in life we have lots of ideas, lots of opinions, lots of things we think about. And as I look back in life, I've had those opinions, those ideas. Sometimes they've been right, and sometimes they've been wrong, just like you. Sometimes things are right, sometimes they're wrong about my anticipation, your anticipation. So, what do we do? What do we do? That's always the question. You know, you have a way of looking at things, and then you rely on other people too. How many times have we relied on other people in the past? Did we get the right information when we relied on other people? Who was it? Somebody in an authority situation, an authority figure? Well, we have to be real careful. There are people who are authorities that have given us bad information. Oh, you know, we pay people for their advice sometimes, and we wish we would have done it different. But we did. We followed their advice. And what would you think about the idea who's the man of God? The pastor, the priest, the somebody who talks about, don't you worry, because we are going to be out of here for the rapture, and we won't have anything to worry about. Yeah, I know it's a sensitive subject, because people get really, really, well, they have opinions about this, and there just is no considering anything except what they think. You may well be like that too, and I don't know the answer, except I urge you to look at the different possibilities. We really don't know, and don't know means don't know. Yeah, we long for Christ's return, especially before the troubles happen, the big troubles. Yeah, and it's easy to expect his return real soon, because we see the troubles. We see things starting to happen. At what point does it actually mean that things will happen, like Jesus Christ's return? There's even reasoning that Christ's return will be 20 years away. And a few people even say longer than that. There's good arguments for it. So I just mean to say that whatever it is, you have to be careful what you believe and what you consider. You know, there's plenty of people who say Christ is going to return this year or next. It's an unknown situation, and we must recognize that we just don't know when the return of Christ will be and when he will take us out of the difficulty which it appears we will be having. You just look at those scriptures. Whew. How much intensity will we experience? I know I look at that Matthew 24 as Luke. Anyway, we just don't know. We don't know, but we do know there's some things that we're seeing. We see wars and rumors of wars. They have been happening for just about 100 years. What does that mean? There's a lot of question. We don't know. And what about this famine and pestilence and earthquakes? When will they be? Is that things that we've already experienced? Because there have been famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Lots of them. So when will it be? I don't know. But what's the next thing that it talks about is we will, or some of us will, be delivered up, .. and killed for his name's sake. There again, we don't know. It has happened in the world. It is happening right now. Will it happen to us? Will we be saved out of the troubles? It's for sure we don't know. But that's the thing. We have such good life right now. Lots of things nice. Lots of things good. Very little suffering, certainly compared to other times in history or in other parts of the world. We have it made. Whoa, what a glorious life we have. Yep, we do. So how do we consider the differences in what the Bible talks about and our experience of life? It's just a question. Are difficult things really going to happen? what is going to be that human condition that is coming about? Well, we want to look in a little ways into the future to try to get understanding. And, you know, how do we do that? How do we look into the future? Well, may I suggest studying God's Word and prayer, especially prayer. Let this prayer be your guide as to how to prepare, and then measure it against the Bible. Yep. And along with that, I hope that you get different ideas. I hope that you get encouragement. And that's a part of what I want to do too. I want to be an encouragement to you, and I want to be an encouragement for you to prepare. And that seems to be why I'm involved with this, why I'm talking to people. The preparation is such a big thing, but we don't exactly know what for. We know that things could happen that are very difficult, and what they are, there again, we don't know. You know, there's lots of people around the world. A lot of people are in great difficulties, and a lot of people are poor. And yet what happens? There's a lot of nations and a lot of people praying for America. America. America has shown such great kindness to other peoples around the world. And now they can see that America is in a struggle. They see this from other countries. America's in a struggle, a spiritual struggle. And there's people who can just see difficulties of what we all might face here in this country. Yeah, I've seen it too. I remember coming, I went on a mission trip to Thailand, and there's plenty of spiritual interactions that are ungodly, of a different God. And there's spirit houses where there's just vast differences of unchristian spirituality. So it was something that you could come to see, come to sense. You had that feelings, and you could see things across the land and how people related to each other, even though everyone was very, very nice. It was a very nice trip. But coming back to this land, that is America, having the airplane trip back and then being here, you could see, you could sense the spiritual lack there was here. It was a very difficult thing to realize how much depravity there was in this land, and depravity compared to God's standards, not human standards. Because humans have such a great capacity for all sorts of depravity. But it was a very funny thing to see why, or that there was this huge spiritual lack here in this country. And then I could see that this could very well be why spiritual trouble or physical trouble or all sorts of troubles just might soon be coming to this country. Because we weren't following God. I mean, if you look at something 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and you consider the spiritual love of God that there was here in this country, you can see that the difference between then and today is so very great. Who knows what is coming, but I just want to say pay attention. Anything could be coming. It could be natural disasters, it could be man-made, it could be just the consequences of our decisions. And I know I always think about the financial thing. That's a big thing to me. Just because it's been something I've watched for so many years. It's not that I'm a big financial guy, I'm not, but it's been something I've watched. And I remember hearing this said, I never could figure out if it was said as a joke or if it was said as a truth, but I'll say it as a joke because I don't know. And did you hear that at the very end of the year, a very small African country, they paid all of their bills, all of their employees, had everything paid, and they still had $3,500 in their bank account. And, you know, on one side of things, you say, $3,500, that's nothing. And in a way, it isn't for a country. But just think of our country. We are $20 trillion richer, we are $20 trillion in debt. And so they are trillions of dollars richer than we are. Yeah, it's a joke, but there's truth to it. Our debt is so great. And someday, somehow, that'll have to be paid back. There is a question of if our resources of our national lands have already been put as collateral for our national debt to certain international bodies or agencies. There's just a lot that we don't know. We don't understand. And we don't know how things are going to go. We don't know how to form our conclusions and form a direction. But if we don't look at it, it's for sure that we will never know what the next step is and where to go. So I do like to listen to what people say. And as I said, the financial thing has been something I've followed for years just because of the people I've dealt with in life. So I continue to listen. I continue to look. And there's a lot of people who talk about the failure of the United States dollar. They talk about it's been a crash. And there's really good reasoning behind it. And what would that mean for us to have a United States dollar crash? Well, it probably wouldn't be just the dollar. It would probably affect all the currencies around the world. And then we would be for several months without a real answer for how the economy was doing. And we would have a change of money where the old money would not be honored anymore. And we would have to get new money. And we can hardly find that as a possibility. But yet it has happened. It has happened in just the recent years. It happened in smaller countries. We think of Venezuela. Things have happened in Spain too, and in India, where they just took the money right out of the people's hands, the larger bills, which were roughly equivalent to $20. That's a large bill. Well, they made them. The word is demonetized, and said they would no longer have a value after a certain date. So, could that happen here? Well, yeah, it sure could. And it just might. Because of our uncertain financial situation, and a lot of that is with our national debt. $20 trillion. They say it's over the point of no return now. And what that means is we will have to pay for a repayment and for the interest. We will, our children will, our grandchildren will, and we won't have enough money to spend on the basic programs that we have already committed to. It's just a big question. It's just a big problem. Is a crash coming? It could be. It sure could be. And the timing of it, this year, next year, those are the two votes that people who look at this are saying. And yet there could be something additional with that. We have a military situation on the edge of happening, and we have opposition. We have major opposition. We just have questions. There could also be a couple of other things. There's the EMP, electromagnetic pulse, and that happens when a nuclear device is let off in the air, is exploded a few miles above the surface of the Earth. That affects a whole lot. The results could be catastrophic for our country. And I certainly like to if this is a subject that comes up, I like to remind anyone who will listen that there are satellites with unknown, what they're carrying is unknown, and it could be a small nuclear device that is designed to have that EMP as the product. North Korea has two of those satellites that go over our country every day. So we just have questions here. There's also the natural disaster idea, and that would be a coronal mass ejection from the sun. If the sun were to have one, and as I've said before, we did have one in 1858-59. It was the Carrington effect, where electric fences, electric telegraph lines absorbed the charge from the sun and melted. They caught fire. There's been a couple of other ones that have had similar breakdowns in communication. And so these things do happen. Will they happen? Certainly we don't know. But there are possibilities, and it's only wise, in my point of view, to realize that these things can happen. And here I go back to prepare. Oh, there's a big point that there's lots of possibilities. Sure, society could collapse. Sure, there could be riots. Sure, there could be food shortages. It could be area-wide or in a small area, or it could be in a larger area. Well, one of those things, we just don't know. There's lots of ideas and lots of conclusions. But do we say, oh, the emergency services will help us? Yeah, I guess so. Or they could just go down with the rest of the situation that would be caused by a lack of electricity. We can't have emergency services without electricity, not to mention regular services like gasoline and groceries. Oh, we wouldn't be able to call any emergency services. It just means a societal collapse of one form or another, and we will have to go back to that old style of relying on ourselves, having self-reliance of each person, of each family, of each community. It just might happen. I don't know, but my message is so very basic. It's prepare, 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 and do this while resources are available, because really, we don't know. Lots of things going on. But with that idea of preparation, there's a couple of things I think about. Just a little reminder here. One is that peace of mind is worth the cost of preparation. And that is the peace of mind which preparation gives a person is worth the cost of that preparation. And another one is, it's better to begin preparing a year too early than a day too late. So I have these, a couple of pamphlets. Those are in one of the pamphlets of preparedness, because I want to urge everyone to just consider this. What should they do to prepare? So I have these little pamphlets. I give them away. They're intended to have preparedness ideas and motivation. If you would like, I'd be happy to send one to you. So if you could send me a self-addressed stamp envelope, yes, I'll send you one of those pamphlets. It's two pages that are copied front and back. It's to give you ideas, to give you motivation. And if you want to, like I said, if you want to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll be happy to send you one of those. And if you want to be on the address list, make that known. And if you don't want to be on the address list, make that known, which is the way I would normally do it, is not keep track of your name and address, because that's not the kind of person I am. So remember also, please, that if you ever want to give a donation, a large donation, a small donation, it's all very good. It'd be very appreciated. And And you could donate instead of to me, you could donate to KKXX. Just let that check be to KKXX, and that'll go towards the broadcast costs. I'm always glad to have you listen to Christ Today, and remember that you can listen to the past episodes. They some of them are interesting to different people, and I've been surprised at the amount of response that I've had. I've had people who like the show and are supportive of it, but the financial donations are lacking, so I'm always glad to have those. If you want to send them in, my P.O. Box is P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And it can be a $5 bill or anything else. And everything helps because, like I've said before, the show is kind of a struggle for me to get together. But I do think it's a worthy show to remind people about Jesus Christ, His glory, His goodness, and that He is with us every day. And I also think that preparedness is a social responsibility for the things that just might go on. And so I urge everyone to look into that. Let's see, and my email is prepareforgod@usa.com. prepareforgod@usa.com. That's spelled out, and it is all lowercase and no spaces. So you also can call me at 530-628-7222, and often you will be leaving me a message. And I'm always glad to hear ideas about what you would like to hear about. There's some things that I get response about, and there's some things that I don't. So I look for ideas. I want to make this show something that you would like to hear about. So I'm always glad to hear ideas, or maybe you have information for me to consider. That's good, too. I do like to learn, and I like to look at things. For a few years now, I've seen information about the return of the giants on Earth. That's something that really struck me as too bizarre for quite a few years. But as the information kept presenting itself, I realized that these are things that are new ideas, but possibilities. And they seem like now I think it's a pretty good possibility. Yeah, there was a lot of things I didn't think of at first that were good ideas or possibilities, but now I do. And I'm still looking for more evidence, more information. But they're ideas that change, they grow on us, just like once upon a time there was a horseless carriage, and it was thought that if it went faster than a horse would go, why, the driver would not be able to breathe because the air would be going by his nose so fast. Our ideas change. There's often things that we think are the case, and they are not. And look at, once upon a time, we thought that women shouldn't vote. Can you believe that? Huh? Well, and once upon a time, Bibles were chained to the churches. And now, just about everyone can own a Bible. It's just one of those things that ideas develop, ideas change, and we learn more. Well, about 30 years ago, I went to Peru to see those huge rocks in Cusco, Peru, which is right by Machu Picchu. And I saw those stones, those huge, huge stones, and I just knew that those things were not possible by man's efforts to do. They were just too huge. A 5-foot or 10-foot stone by 15 or 20 feet. You just can't move things like that. You just can't have them meld into each other. And then often enough, the quarries were miles away too. So the rocks had to be transported and then fit together. We just don't have the ability to do that. And it makes me wonder How could any such things be done? And yeah, I thought of the giants. I thought of it developed into the fallen angels, and how we could put, not we, but how they could put things together. I think of the pyramids. They say it was done with slave labor. Well, not from what I see. There's just the megaliths, the huge stone structures all over the world, and they're huge cities that are now underwater, again, made with the huge stonework. When did they happen? Where did they come from? Who made them? It's a lot of questions, and we really only can guess at what the answers are, because it's not in our ability today. We don't have enough evidence, and the evidence that there is has been hidden for us. The evidence of giants, the evidence of their skulls, of their skeletons, hidden. Hidden throughout history by various institutions, and if you look, you will see it. But so often we are busy with life, with making a living, with having our family and our personal relationships, that we just don't have time to look at those questions. It, just like we don't have time to look at the question of preparation. Do we prepare or do we not prepare? Well, it's always different for different people. Sometimes things grab our attention. Sometimes we know people who have had a tragedy. Sometimes just something gets our attention and we pay more of our thought to that difficult situation. But what I hope is we all prepare in ways before that difficult time comes. Because what do we need every day? We need those couple of basic things. Air, of course. We need water. We need food. We need a spiritual relationship. We need sometimes medical. We need things for going to the bathroom. We need things for caring for people. That's medicine. That's emergency medicine. And just plain old things. Yeah, things happen. And we should look at what we would do if our normal systems fail. Because the more we live, the more we see. A part of all these things is Christian love and a relationship with God. Don't forget that. Relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That really is the most important thing. Develop that. And miss that as much as you would miss what it would be like without a cell phone. That's just quite a wake-up call for me. So we want to have our prayer life and have a communication going. Well, give all these things some thought and remember to give thanks to God for all the blessings that you do have. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking with you next week.